This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul's joining us here on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. The Sabres get ready to face the Boston Bruins this evening down at KeyBank Center. A 7 o'clock faceoff. Pre-game coverage here on WGR gets started at 6 o'clock with Mike Chopin, the Bulldog, and you'll be able to hear Paul all throughout the broadcast tonight on with Brian Koziel down in the locker room for post-game. And Paul joins us right now. Good afternoon, Paul. You've been a very busy man today, haven't you?
Yeah, I've talked to all of you. And as you said, the work is not done. We have a game this evening, which I hope is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, I listen, Paul, I know, like, over the past couple of days when I've been hosting, I feel like I've been really hyping up this team. And it's three opponents that they've played that have been, you know, not the best competition. But, I mean, the Canadiens were just in the Stanley Cup final last year. And, you know, Vancouver's always been a team that, you know, expectations are always so up and down for them, and you never really kind of know what team you're going to get. They have some good talent, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're going to be able to carry over the performances from the first three games of the season into this game where the Bruins are arguably going to be their first real tough challenge of the season.
Yeah, it is, and Boston didn't do well in Philadelphia, you know, losing that game, and so they're 1-1 on the season. They've only played the two games. They get to face their old goaltender in Linus Ullmark, and I was talking to Joe about this. Who has the advantage? I mean, Ullmark knows some of these shooters, but there's some turnover here too. Guys he doesn't know, he hasn't faced in practice. Mike Bales was his coach. So
right.
Mike Bales knows his weaknesses by heart. He knows ways to get to him and how to get him off his game. So, you know, will the Sabres then have an advantage? But it seems like every time a former Sabre goaltender rolls in here, he does pretty well. So I almost hesitate to say that Ullmark would, or that Sabres would have the advantage.
Paul Hamilton joining us right now on the Wester Hotline here on WGR's appearance is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning your future is more than just about money. It's Equitable. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Raylex Honda. Raylex, we've got this. All right, Paul. So before we get into tonight's matchup, I do want to ask you about the latest surrounding Jack Eichel. Emily Kaplan reported late last night that Eichel's camp is pretty much preparing to have one last push to attempt to get Eichel the confirmation to allow him to have the artificial disc replacement surgery, as it appears that trade talks have kind of died down because Kevin Adams is for probably the right reason, remaining staunch on the asking price for Eichel. So what's next here, Paul? How do you see this playing out going forward? Do you see a scenario where Kevin Adams and the Sabres let Eichel get the surgery after being staunch about not letting him get the surgery, or do you think this gets even more uglier as time goes on?
Well, Emily Kaplan's report is not new. We can go back to around the time Jack Eichel was changing agents. And I believe it was Elliot Friedman, and then backed up by Darren Dreger. He was out in California seeing numerous doctors, trying to get a bunch of people to be on his side kind of thing, to come with the same diagnosis as his doctor has. And I think Dreger had said he went about 50-50. You know, found some people that did, found some people that didn't. But yeah, this is nothing new. This has been going on for a couple of months now, where he's been seeing different doctors trying to, you know, get maybe a consensus towards him and trying to convince the Sabres that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, I don't know. To me, it just seems like at this point in this whole process, I don't know what more, Pat Brisson or CAA is going to do to convince the Sabres of changing their minds at all to let him get this surgery. I mean, at this point, it probably is going to have to go to arbitration. But as you've said in the past, I mean, what more can arbitration do for Jack Eichel at this point? The case is not really in his favor. So, I mean, are we realistically thinking that maybe we could see this carrying over and potentially getting up to the trade deadline and even maybe beyond then to a point where maybe the Sabres are going to have to try and get something done before his no movement clause kicks in at the start of next year?
Yeah, how can Eichel do anything legally? I mean, this is a collective bargaining agreement, and the name says it was collectively bargained between the NHL and the NHL Players Association. It was agreed to by both sides and signed by both sides. Jack Eichel is a member of the NHL Players Association, so they speak for him, which means he agreed through the Players Association to this collective bargaining agreement. So legally, I don't see what he can do at all because, it was collectively bargained. So
right.
I just don't see where he has a case there. And I totally understand the frustration. And I've said many, many times, this was a horrible thing that the Players Association did. They took the players' rights away.
Right, which is kind of the case that I bring up with people in conversations that I have. It's just like, yeah, sure, Eichel can be mad at the team, but if he should be really mad at anybody, it's the Players Association for this whole situation.
Absolutely. And I don't know what the Players Association got back for agreeing to this particular thing. I'm sure they got something back. I don't think they just did it for free. You know, that's how things are bargained. All right, we'll give you this, but we want this in return if we're going to give you this. So they had to have gotten something, but I don't see how any of it's worth it. Now, somebody could say back to me, well, this has really never happened before where it's mm-hmm. been like this. And so maybe the Players Association didn't realize what it was giving up here because in all the years, and I don't know how many years this has been in the collective bargaining agreement, but in all the years, it really hasn't come up where there's a disagreement of this magnitude and then a player has no say over his medical procedures, which is asinine. I mean, that just makes no sense at all that the Players Association did that. So moving forward, I'm sure that's something that the will be negotiated out of the next collective bargaining agreement, however the players are going to do it. But that does not help Jack Eichel. I totally understand his frustration, but, I mean, everybody wants to blame the Sabres on this. Blame the Players Association. The Sabres have done nothing against the collective bargaining agreement where they can have a grievance filed against them.
Paul Hamilton joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. All right, Paul, so looking ahead to tonight's matchup, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the efforts transition over from the first three games into this matchup with Boston being their first really true tough contender on their regular season schedule. But certainly there are some players that I think have been needing to maybe step up their game a little bit more heading into this matchup here through the first three games. Who in your mind do you believe needs to maybe step up? And what are you wanting to see? Who are you wanting to see more from tonight?
From the Sabres?
Yeah, sure.
I haven't been disappointed in anybody, to be
right.
quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really played well as a team. And that's why they've had the success that they've had. But I'm looking up and down the roster right now. I got nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked the Thompson line. I think they work very well together. I think they mesh well together. I've liked the Mittelstadt/Cousins line. You know, with what I've seen out of that, Vinny Hinostroza has been very good. Yeah, he had that one hiccup in the Arizona game, the Vancouver game, where he didn't pick up Horvat. Or he was with him and he let him go, and then he winds up alone in the slot and scores. But everybody makes mistakes in the game. I'm not going to hold one mistake against him. But, you know, he's actually, I mean, he has 7 shots on goal this year, and he has produced offensive opportunities for them. They just haven't gone in the net with his speed. So I've been, you know, pleased with that. The Eakin line speaks for itself. I mean, all three players are having career years right now as far as the way they're playing. So, and the defense, I've really liked how Bryson and Miller, I like that combination for the most part. It gets goofy now and then, but again, hockey is a game of mistakes. For the most part, I think those two have meshed very, very well. Dahlin, for the most part, again, I think it has been coming on playing very well. You know, he had Butcher come into the lineup after Joki Haru got hurt, so he had one game with Joki Haru and two with Butcher. Butcher's been okay. Now, I say okay. If Samuelson is, you know, he had his first practice today with the team. When he is ready to go, I probably would put him in for Butcher because I think Samuelson is somebody that I don't think Bryson would have gotten the opportunity in preseason. I think that was Samuelson's opportunity, and Bryson totally took advantage of it, you know, and looked really good in preseason and has looked good in the regular season. So I think Samuelson was kind of the one that was penciled in, and he got off to a great start. You were there with us in the broadcast.
Yeah.
In the prospects tournament, had a really, really nice game. But in the third period, was it the third? Early in the third, I think, he took a shot. And,
it was in the dying moments of that game. They were trying to preserve the shutout for Luukkonen.
So it was late in the third.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been the end of them until today. So I really think he was the guy that might have gotten the opportunity, whether they want him to go to Rochester and acclimate himself again, or if they want to throw him right in the lineup here. I mean, they could do either one, you know, whatever they want to do with him. But, I think everybody has really – I might have said Jeff Skinner to a point until the last game. I mean, that goal was just a Jeff Skinner goal from your knees and you roof it on the backhand.
Oh, yeah.
But he would look good throughout that game, I thought. It wasn't – I thought that was his best game of the year in that one. So I'm being real nitpicky here. So, I've really liked the team game so far, and this is a total definition of a team right now. And I said, if we're talking talent, last year's team, I think, has this year's team beaten by a lot.
Yeah, like
because there's Reinhardt, there's Eichel, you know. But if you're talking a team, guys who just play as a team, this one beats last year's by a lot.
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier in the show today, just like this is the best team effort overall I've seen in, I mean, arguably since the last time they made the playoffs. Just since then, it seems like, you know, even in the earlier days when they fired Lindy Ruff and the roster started to kind of like spontaneously combust within themselves a little bit. And then from there, it just really fell apart and so much change. But like the group that Don Granato's put together and the way that they've been playing, it's probably the best I've seen this team play from top to bottom since the last time they made the playoffs.
This, from a team standpoint, a team game, this is the best team since Nolan took that team and won the division with them, and he was coach of the year. Mm-hmm. And I believe Derek Plant might have been his top center on that team. It wasn't a team of stars. It was exactly like this team.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of guys who meshed extremely well together, played as a team, liked each other, functioned as a team, and next thing you know, they won the division. And I am not predicting they're winning the division before everybody goes crazy on Twitter or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what this team, after three games, and we always have to keep putting that in there, that's what this team reminds me of.
Yeah, I keep adding the three games. I sound like a broken record, Paul.
Yeah.
Well,
these days of social media, you got to keep saying it because thing you say, Hamilton thinks this is a Stanley Cup contender. Wait a minute, I didn't say that.
That's what I heard, Paul. All right, Paul. So what do we need to know about tonight's matchup in terms of lineup changes, who we're seeing to start and goal, and just what you're kind of looking for?
We'll see both Anderson and Tokarski today and tomorrow. So Anderson gets the home game. Tokarski gets the road game. And that makes sense. There have been a couple of days in between. As we already mentioned, Allmark is getting his first game after Jeremy Swayman played the first two for the Bruins. I find that all interesting. I've never understood the Allmark signing by the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I think Allmark showed last year for the first time that he can be a number one goalie in this league. But Jeremy Swayman was great last year, you know, in the time he played. And Vladar, I think, was his backup for a while, too, when Rask was hurt. While you're waiting for Rask to get healthy, I would have been totally fine with that. And I said it when the contract was came about that I think the Bruins are going to regret the contract, and I really think they are. Swayman has played 12 career games and has a 1.75 goals against and a .935 save percentage and has two shutouts in 12 games in the NHL. This is a 22-year-old kid who I'm not surprised at all that he won the job from Allmark. If they both were playing well, I think Swayman might be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't understand at all why Allmark went or why the Bruins went with Allmark. And people, well, there were a lot of goalies the Sabres could have gotten when they thought the Sabres had the worst goaltending in the NHL, which by the way, right now it's the best goaltending in the NHL. But it, again, it's only three games. You know, Allmark was not giving the Sabres the Bruins contract. The Bruins got $5 million a year. He wanted at least $1 million more, and I think it was more than $1 million from the Sabres. It's like, if I'm going to come back to this mess, I got to make it worth my while. So the $5 million contract, which, by the way, I would not even given him that, was not available to the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
And the goaltenders had signed in free agency with other teams. Do you think Grubauer was sitting there going, God, I can't get Kevin Adams to take my call. I want to get to the Sabres, and I just can't get Kevin Adams to take my call. What's wrong here?
I would guess the chances of that are no.
Yeah. Come on, people.
Yeah.
The good goaltenders weren't trying to get to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't listening to Buffalo. If Kevin Adams called, and he probably did, they're like, we'll get back to you. We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. So, I mean, this narrative that there were so many good goalies and Adams blew it, really? Do you really think that goaltenders were trying to get to a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years and has been the worst team in the NHL for, what is it, four out of the last eight? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right.
Including last year, including a few years ago when they drafted Dahlin. Why would you want to come here, even if the money is better, and sign a 3 or 4 year deal here or a 2 year deal or whatever it is, thinking that you probably have no shot at the playoffs in any of those years? I don't understand the thinking here, and it's just there's too many people who try too hard to, you know, point out the flaws of the Buffalo Sabres. Guess what? The Sabres have enough flaws. You don't have to work that hard at it, you know, for the last 10 years. You don't have to work that hard at it, that you have to almost make things up. There's enough there in the last 10 years. If you want to be negative about the Buffalo Sabres, you can go all day if you'd like to, that you don't have to, you know, make things up that aren't even there.
Well, Paul, we will be listening for you later on tonight. We will see also John Hayden back in the lineup for the first time this regular season with the Sabres. He's playing for Cody Eakin. What exactly happened to Eakin, by the way? He crashed into the net?
Yeah, he crashed into the post.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's not great.
Slow to get up. Then he went over and sat on the bench for a little bit. He didn't go right to the room.
Okay.
Probably trying to collect himself, whatever it might have been, and then went to the room. And that was the last we saw of him. So, you know, all we know is it's the two games this weekend, and then there's another game on Monday, which we don't know about. And so this is the first time the Sabres have faced three games in four, but at least the Tampa Bay one isn't back-to-back. They'll get Sunday off. The team will have that day off, and then they play Tampa Bay on Monday.
Okay. All right, Paul, we'll listen for you later on tonight and enjoy the rest of the weekend for you.
You too. Enjoy your...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.